Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin. Hey, everybody. We are back. I am back. Woo! Welcome to Legacies. This is season 2, episode 10. I am your host, Haley Graves, and joining me tonight is Miss Shiksha Matani, AfterBuzz OG, who has been holding things down for us. You guys, I am so excited to be back here tonight with Shiksha.
Yes.
Just before we get to it, just going to break things down for you. We're going to start off talking about the history of Alyssa Chang, because let's be honest, that girl has a lot of baggage to talk about. We're going to talk about Prison Worlds times two, the Kareen, and our wonderful Wade, who now has a purpose on the show. So thankful for that one. We're going to dive into some news and gossip. Then we will jump to our special segment, The Merge. Don't forget, that is your favorite duo and your least favorite duo from this episode. And then lastly, we'll get into some predictions. So with that, Shiksha, lay it on me. What'd you think of this episode?
This was very interesting episode. It was jam-packed with Agreed. All kinds of stuff. Love the Wade angle, but also missed Raf again. So where the hell is Raf?
H-E, double hockey stick.
Well, because, you know, we know he's with his father and stuff, but he just doesn't have a storyline, and now Wade does, which I love. So,
confused
mixed feelings on that end, but overall, love the episode.
Yeah, I would definitely agree. I'm super pumped about this one, especially because of Wade. You know, like, the whole time, it's kind of been like, they sprinkle him here and there, and I'm like, he has to have a bigger purpose than this. And this whole episode, it was giving me good feels, good vibes, and they really just threw me through a loop at the end there, because I 100% thought, like, oh, this is going to be one of those cute, like, feel-good episodes, doesn't really tell us much, but, and then at the end, they just dropped all of these freaking, not even drop bombs, they launched grenades at us. That's what they did. So while we get there, we started off with Miss Alyssa Chang.
Yes.
So the episode begins dating us back 8 years ago, where we see a young Alyssa Chang, I guess, had just blown up her house. We see papers everywhere. It's really dark. And a young Alaric there with Alyssa. So what were your thoughts in the very, like, immediately when we're starting to realize, hey, this episode, we're going to get to know who this character is?
I was glad, because I know that last year, we read that this actress was coming into the show, and she was signed on as a new character. And then she was introduced when she was Hope's roommate in last episode. But we didn't really get much of her.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, they had talked about it in the news that there's this new character being introduced, but we, what, you know? So I'm glad that they finally told us something about her. I'm not sure how I feel about her, but when I saw that 8 years flashback, I was like, okay, now we're going to get the history behind this girl. Did you like what they did with her?
I'm intrigued, because I didn't expect her to have this angle. I think her name has come up in other episodes where it was almost implied that she was a witch. She was very, very intelligent. We did know that. But I didn't expect her to have the mean girl vibe, because she's not even, like, a mean girl in the sense of, I guess, when you're talking about, like, female bullies. It's more like she's mean to her core, which is completely different. And that's something I didn't expect. I really enjoyed, we'll just go through the time periods, because I enjoyed jumping back and them giving us the flashback. So we were at 8 years, how we just said. They decided to bring her to the school. Then the next time we get the flashback of Alyssa is 4 years ago. So it went eight years, 4 years. And at 4 years, that was when Alaric and Emma were considering expelling Alyssa.
Right.
So we learn later on in the episode that this expulsion is actually them sending students to this prison world. We'll get more into the prison world in a minute, but we learned that that's what they've been doing. So they've been doing this for 4 years. 4 years sending students away.
Yeah.
And I'd never definitely didn't. When they were talking about expelling her, I was like, why are they being so dramatic about this? Mm-hmm. Like, they just make her leave the school. Mm-hmm. You know? Like, did you ever think that it was going to be going, like, they were sending students there?
No. Well, definitely. Oh, my God. No. They're just, like, trying to digest what you said. So you're saying that when Alaric said he's going to expel her, he was actually threatening to throw her into the prison world?
That's literally, yeah. We're going to, beep, boop, beep, boop. Yeah, we're going to cut the dots. Yeah.
Yeah,
because at the end, that's how we discover they... So basically, what's revealed to us, because Alyssa at the end of the episode throws something out there at Emma, basically saying, I know what you did and what you and Alaric have been doing.
That's insane.
And then so she hints at, she knows what they just did to Sebastian, and then it's justified, or I guess, like, we figure it out because Sebastian's there in the prison world, and so connecting, going back, they've been doing this for 4 years.
That's insane to me, especially because Alaric... Dude, he's finally back as the headmaster. He's finally, like, redeemed himself in their eyes, you know, because he was wrong before. But now for this to come out that he's been doing this for so long, how is that going to go over and be okay?
I know.
Unless you can justify it by saying that these kids were really bad. But even Sebastian, I see why Alaric was mad at him, and we all thought he had put him... I know that in the comments, people were saying that maybe it was... He put him in that bookshelf that he has hidden.
Yeah.
But I never thought the prison world where Kai is, who was like the biggest evil on Vampire Diaries. So
I know. I definitely, let me know if you agree with this or not, but I definitely do not think that they had the right to make those decisions. Because that's essentially taking kids away from their parents, from their lives. And even with Sebastian, the whole time, they've kind of been alluding to the fact that Alaric did something to him, basically made him go away. Mm-hmm. I assume that he just stabbed him, again, staked him in the heart, and he was back in his box. Yeah. That's what I assumed. He was back in his coffin. But this is just a whole nother level of messed up.
Yeah.
I mean, I know that Alaric has hatred. I think as much love as he has for the supernatural world, there's still a piece of him that... has hatred. Because let's remember back, his role in Vampire Diaries originally came about of him basically fighting and trying to kill all vampires and all supernatural. So there's still a piece of him that has to not like the supernatural, or at least...
But his kids are supernatural.
But not even necessarily, I guess, not dislike of them. It's more of he still feels the need to protect the world from them.
Okay.
Yes. And so, and that's what I think his reasoning is doing.
Because he's mortal. So he understands the other side.
Yeah.
Yeah, I get that, but he also has kids that are supernatural. He's also the headmaster of a school of fully supernatural kids.
I don't think it's like a dislike. I think it's just he's so protective of anything supernatural being like detrimentally bad that he has no regard for if they're redeemable or not.
I have to give Alaric the benefit of the doubt, though, because I love Alaric. This was bad.
Sending students students to a prison world is bad.
I know. Okay, so Brandon Bowie is saying a prison world is way too harsh. Ivan Soto is saying these kids are too dangerous for the real world.
Ivan, you're thinking like Alaric there.
Yeah. Carlos Hernandez said a whole prison world wrong on so many levels.
Yeah.
See, so...
Thank you.
I mean, okay, I have to give Alaric the benefit of the doubt because I love him and... He's been so good all this while, so...
He's got that dark
side. No, for him to go completely dark, because if he actually did that, I'm not okay with that. And all of a sudden, they just made one of my favorite characters, boom.
Yeah.
Not so favorite.
See, no, I think it's always been there. Like, I think a subtle bit of it's been there, and he's just kind of been repressing it. But clearly he hasn't, because as early as 4 years in the past that we know that he's been sending students to this prison world. And so, again, they considered doing this to Alyssa. Emma was the one who stopped it. And what I didn't understand, here's my bone to pick with this episode, is that, so pretty much Alyssa does this because we find out that when the purge spell happened, that Hope cast, when everyone got their memories back, that she got all of her memories back as well. Everything she did as a child, all of that stuff that had been erased. But what I didn't understand is she's so mad at Alaric and Emma, yet she, if her memories came back, shouldn't she have remembered her decision? Like, they asked her.
I was thinking that too, because she made the decision to stay.
Exactly.
She wanted to stay.
Exactly. And they told her, hey, we have a way to do this. We can wipe your memory. Like, do you want us to? And she gave the green light. So yeah. I don't understand why she's so angry. I get she could be angry about discovering what they've been doing to other students.
Or they were threatening to put her in the prison world, yeah. right? So yeah. she could be mad about that because she didn't really have a choice. Yeah. Go to the prison world or erase your memory. Yeah. I mean, and she was a kid.
Yeah.
But at the same time, Alaric's been helping her all since she was a kid. We saw that. He was protecting her in a way, right?
Protecting her, protecting the world from her.
Stop. No. I mean,
I'm just saying. Okay. Like, it kind of comes down to, like, this core that we're finding of Alaric. But so then we go to 2 years ago.
Yeah.
That's when she starts doing the linking spells. And, you know, I really wish that I would have caught on to that when they started talking about the linking spells. Because, like, dang it. Mm-hmm. And so that was how Emma was doing it all this time. And it was... I mean, Alyssa
what do you
Chang
mean
said it
Emma
best.
Was doing it?
That or I like that how she was like erasing her memory. And then so because it was linked to her and that was how she was figuring it out. So, you know, really props to them because Alyssa Chang said it best. It really was poetic justice for her.
Yeah.
She was able to do everything to the people that were doing the things to her. And I was like, wow.
Yeah, I know, but it's also scary to see this happening because now the monster's not from the outside, it's from within.
Yeah.
So how the hell are they going to defeat this? Obviously, we saw a little bit with Hope, but there's no telling how that's going to go.
Plus, we have the necromancer still on the loose.
Oh, yeah.
So.
And yeah, that's true, which we didn't see him at all this episode.
No.
Yeah,
no,
we got a lot of him last week.
Yeah, we'll get to some more of that. But so that's kind of... For the most part, the history of Alyssa Chang, she's evil at the core. She probably should have been in the prison world. I'm just going to throw that one out there. But so now speaking of the prison world. So we said we have two prison worlds, kind of. Because Lizzie and Josie have been trying to figure out how to contain this black magic from ultimately cracking, spilling, and everyone being at their doom to Josie. So they're trying to figure this out. And they come up with a plan to ultimately create a new ascendant in a new prison world, which they will send the dark magic to. Mm-hmm. I thought it was a brilliant plan.
I did too.
Like, I was like, snaps to you, Lizzie.
Yes.
This is a good plan.
But it can never be that easy.
It can never be that easy, you know? And so we go through the episode, and ultimately they're like, oh, it's a celestial event. The meteor shower's there because only in Legacies, of course, it's a celestial event when they're trying to do this.
Of course.
And they have all of the witches and all of their witchiness all episode getting all back on the same page with one another to make this actually happen. And they do it, and I was like, something doesn't feel right. Mm-hmm. I even wrote it down in my gut. I was like, no way it's gone. I literally, that's what I said. No way it's gone.
No way it's gone.
Yes, because I was like,
you just knew.
Yeah, it's like, it wasn't that simple. Everyone's eyes are closed. No way. And so we actually discover what happens is Alyssa Chang, while everyone has their eyes closed, she had found another ascendant and she basically drops it for everyone, in which she linked that ascendant to the other prison world, not the one that Josie and Lizzie had created. So her master plan really outdid Lizzie's.
Yes.
And what were your thoughts on overall Alyssa Chang and her mastermind?
It was really smart. I honestly didn't see it coming. It was just like, damn, when it happened, because it was just not what I was expecting at all. It was just smart. She had to really think this through while that guy was whispering in her ear. She had to still be... And you have to think about it because she found out she got all her memories back weeks ago. So she's been
plotting.
For a while now.
Yeah.
Which is troubling. I think, tell me if I'm wrong, but I think that she could be the level of evil as Kai.
For sure. Right? I think that
Kai was here.
Yeah. I think they're very much like on that same plane. Mm-hmm. Like, you know how people always say like you like vibe with someone or not? Kai and Alyssa Chang would vibe on the same
very
level.
Very much so. Yeah. It's like a nut. Yeah, they're on another level.
I agree. I agree. Like, I think that she honestly, and let me know in the comments if you agree with this, but I think she might actually be the first true evil that we've had in a character in a while.
Yeah. Yeah. Because she's deeply evil.
Yeah.
Which is what Kai was.
Exactly.
He was,
Kai was in all senses charming.
Yes.
You know,
but
he was almost
evil.
Yeah, like he was almost likable at times, but to his core, he was evil. And I feel that's exactly how Alyssa Chang is, that she was able to put on this front, put on this act, and be like, oh, I can decide between two best friends, who I want to be my best friend, and then turn around and be like, ha, psych. Like, yeah. It was disturbing.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see her journey on the show.
Yeah.
But I'm also worried about the other characters and how this is going to play out. And now you have me really worried about Alaric, too, and his role in all this. But I was happy to see Emma back and play a part and be part of the team and it not be too awkward between Dorian and Emma.
The three of them.
It wasn't awkward, and I think that we need her because she's a witch and she can help.
She's like that Bonnie Bennett presence.
Yeah, and we need that, right? Yeah. Because we have all these little witches, of course, but we need the one knowing witch.
Agreed.
Because Bonnie even had her grandmother, if you remember. So she kind of plays that role.
Yeah.
Especially now that we're dealing with this evil witch, essentially. Mm-hmm. We need Emma, so I'm glad she's back.
And I will say that I am pretty happy that they remained consistent with Hope being the hero. Because... Mm-hmm. Just the overall fact of, like, of course, like, Hope happened to be the one to hear what was going on. She knows everything, and so Hope's going to be the one, let's be honest, to save the day. We already kind of can tell of that. So I was at least appreciative of it, that they're remaining consistent with Hope being the hero. I mean, she is. She's the ultimate martyr of the show. Yeah. Like, let's be honest. So one quick thing before we move on to our monster of this episode. Tell me how you think things are going to shake up in the prison world now that Lizzie knows what her dad did. because let's think about how Lizzie reacted when she thought that MG was lying to her. Because, and now it was, like, her dad has just, like, hugged her, been the father, made her think that, like, Sebastian chose to leave. And on all, like, everything he did not choose, it was Alaric.
That's true. Oh, my God. Yeah, I think that they did that so that there was some drama between
the prison world.
Yeah. Well, between the characters that we know, right? I do think that... Well, initially, when I saw that Josie and Lizzie were going to the prison world with Alaric in that first moment, I was like, oh, okay, this will give them, like, father-daughter bonding time. Even though it's a bad situation, this will finally allow them to bond. But now it's Sebastian in the mix, it won't happen. So, because now she's going to spend all her time mad at her dad.
Yeah.
And maybe that'll allow her and Sebastian to go off and figure something out while... the rest of them are figuring, I don't know, like they'll split up or something.
Yeah. It'll see, because I know I wasn't here last week, but I've got to tell you all very briefly that the whole thing and the whole way that Alaric handled Sebastian, I completely disagreed with. I thought we had such good insight into who Sebastian is as a character, as a person, and I definitely thought that he had some redeemable qualities that being in Alaric's school, he would actually and could actually benefit from, but Alaric just chose to not allow him to do that because of his daughter, and in fairness, Sebastian was being a young teenage boy and the things that he was saying.
He was being an idiot.
But he was being a little macho man. But ultimately, it's going to be interesting.
So Carlos Hernandez is saying that my guess is they can't get out without also risking releasing the others.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. I completely agree with you on that. But without getting to too many predictions, I think that this is 100% the pathway towards Kai now being a part of the show.
Oh, yeah. And he comes out, he comes in episode 12. We know that. This was 10, so we get him in 2 weeks' time.
Yep.
So I wonder how they're going to make that work, because that means they're not going to run into Kai until
2 weeks from now. In the previews, we saw next week's episode's about, like, Cupid. So,
yeah, but they still have to deal with...
Yeah, for them being gone.
Yeah.
I can definitely see it being there. And, I mean, Kai has already figured out, or he's already kind of been through this once with Bonnie, so I'm sure he'll have some Kai information to figure out how to make it happen. Yeah. Having two witches in there with him that are also siphons, and
he'll do something crazy.
Oh yeah, he'll get out. All right, so with that problem being there, the other problem in this episode, which also ended up being a little bit of comic relief, was our good friend Wade and the Kareen.
Yes! Oh my god.
So, the Kareen we saw come out of Malivore last week because of the Necromancer.
Mm-hmm.
And the Kareen's whole purpose was to get this dark object. That's basically what the Necromancer is now doing. He's trying to make these dark objects, or these monsters, come out of Malivore to get the dark object and bring it back to him. And so, the Kareen was there. And we kick it off with it's Coven Day. That's why Emma's here. That's why the episode's going down. The witches are all celebrating their covens, in which Wade has been identifying as a witch, but decides to tell everyone that he's actually a fairy. And
I don't get that, because how do you think you're a witch when you're not?
I think it probably was a situation where they didn't know what else to do with him. And so since he didn't have any, like, physical attributes, so he wasn't a werewolf, wasn't a vampire, they were just like, ah, you gotta be a witch.
How did he end up in that school? Because
I'm sure, I actually think we might find out. As much Wade as we're getting, I'm kind of thinking they're going to tell us a little bit more of the story of Wade. But remember, he also said he didn't know who his parents were.
Right, and that's why I wonder, because Landon was in the same place in season one, episode one.
Yeah.
And they weren't letting him stay because they didn't know what he was. So how is it that Wade managed to stay
and be their tech guy?
Because he was the tech person.
Maybe someone go tweet at Brett Matthews and ask because he's one of the writers on the show and we need these answers ASAP. But so we do know that he says it's because, what did he say? He said it's because he likes honey.
Tidiness
and like something else. And I was like, gosh, his little pictures.
Yeah.
It was that ultimate situation where it's just like, oh, this poor guy in the middle of the Kryn, who the Kryn basically fed off of people's insecurities and whispered your darkest thoughts that you could be having into your ear and basically making you say them out loud.
Mm-hmm.
And that poor guy was just being embarrassed in front of everyone in the gym and everyone in the school. But he was dead set on the fact that he was a fairy. Mm-hmm. And we soon find out that by Landon being with Wade throughout the episode, that's how Landon wasn't any of the effects of the Kryn, because it was when he finally deviated from Wade after everyone was being so mean to Wade. Wade went off and did his own thing.
Yes.
That Landon started to be affected by it, and him and Hope started butting heads. And then he was like, light bulb, Wade's a fairy.
Yes.
I'm in.
Ghost 8386 said the third one was singing.
Oh, singing. Yes. That is right. Yes. I will say thank you for bringing that up, because when we were watching, I was like, oh gosh, she's going to put him on the spot to sing.
Yeah.
And I was expecting it not to go well.
But he likes to sing.
Okay, that's fair. I like to sing too. That doesn't mean I'm good at it. But so we realize that he is a fairy. And that moment of Landon being like, you got this, Wade. I believe in you. Because we also learned that with fairies, that the more people who believe in them, the stronger they are. So we have Landon getting, Landon and Hope, I'm assuming, getting everyone together, and they're chanting Wade. And the way Wade lit up when he starts hearing people's name, I was like, my heart.
I know. It was such a sweet and such a cute moment. I loved it, because I feel like he needed a win, especially because we've been seeing him all throughout these last episodes.
Yep.
And he's just kind of like that side character. Yeah. We don't know what to think about. Like, but you feel bad for him.
Exactly. Like, he's kind of invisible, but then sometimes comic relief, and then it's sometimes just kind of like, what are you doing here?
He was the one who let Sebastian out.
Yep.
You know?
Yep.
So I loved that he finally has some sort of a purpose and that people were cheering him on. That was amazing. Just on a different topic, sorry, but Charmed Original was saying last week's episode, the book said Sebastian the Merciless, since we were talking about Sebastian.
Yep.
That is what it said, and I wonder if that's kind of part of the reason Alaric put him in that prison world.
This is true. And, I'm sure he could have read about it and all those things, but again, be here just briefly since I wasn't here last week. But I think in reading those stories about Sebastian, I'm sure Lark read his book and was like, this kid is awful. That's why he deserves to be there. But again, there's still something about Sebastian to me that seemed redeemable, because he didn't want to necessarily do all the things, or at least that's what I felt they were alluding to, that he was almost forced into the situations that he was in as a child, and he was almost wanting to be better. And I think he would have been better for Lizzie. There's my take on that.
Yes.
But going back to talking about Wade, I think ultimately my biggest takeaway from this storyline, and what I appreciate, is that sometimes you just need people to believe in you.
Yeah.
And like, you don't know what you're capable of.
Yes.
You know?
Ivan Soda's calling him the male Tinkerbell.
Yep. That's pretty good. Pretty good. You know, I thought I had my opinions about the wings as well, and the whole,
they were pretty.
In the scene when he's like trying to make it happen.
Yeah.
I want to also give kudos to Landon for standing up in front of everyone.
Finally,
getting his you-know-what kicked, and ultimately still prevailing and proving to everyone that if you just believe in each other, you don't know what they're capable of.
Yeah, honestly, he's finally getting a backbone.
Yeah.
You know, agreed. He's learning to fight. He's standing up to Hope. And granted, a lot of that was because of the monster. Yeah. But still, he's standing up to Hope. He did stand up to Hope at the end saying, well, I'm still going to learn how to fight.
Yep.
Good for him.
Yeah.
You know, like, if that's the one good thing Sebastian did, fine. Agreed. You know, because he's the one who motivated him to do that.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you there. I think we're seeing a really unique point in Landon's character arc because of the fact that now he is a phoenix. He knows that he can die basically at any time and he'll come back to life, or allegedly anytime. But now he's using his smarts and his wits and his wisdom to also back that up, because he knew and he trusted, if I believe in Wade, and Wade being a fairy, then if I die right now, like, Wade will take this monster out. Mm-hmm. And it was because of his brains, not his brawn, that he ultimately helped Wade to defeat this monster. And I thought it was a nice little duo there.
It was. Yeah. I actually really loved that. Yeah. And I love that it was belief that was needed to bring the fairy wings. Yes, exactly. Like, it, like, brings back our innocence, right? This show in ways. I loved the Wade angle. It was absolutely great. I loved how MG and Caleb were like
the comic relief. Yes. When MG goes, I think he was like, why are we chanting? I think it's somebody's birthday. I was like, oh my gosh. Of course. Yep. Of course that's where they're going with this. But yeah, no, overall, I really, really like them. Oh, you have a thought.
What'd
you
just read? Brandon Bowie said, do you think Wade might be able in closing or stopping Malivore?
Potentially. I could see it happening. I don't know. I'm not up on all of my fairy knowledge other than today. But I do. I like that theory as well.
Yes. Actually, speaking of Malivore, in the comments last week, we had Gomez say, Julie Plec said Malivore is like Voldemort. He won't go away.
That's fair. And I kind of expected that. I mean, considering they closed him and then now he's already back, I kind of figured that was going to happen.
Yes, but I thought that we were closing the door on Malivore slowly and opening the door on something else. Yeah. But it sounds like this is just a monster that's just going to be reoccurring and always there.
That makes sense. Just kind of always lurking.
Never getting rid of Malivore.
That's okay. So before we get to our news, because we're creeping up on it, last thing I want to touch on is just Alaric and the sheriff. I guess my biggest takeaway between the two of them is I like their budding romance still going on. I definitely think that Alaric, his inability to tell her what's actually going on is going to continue to just be a thorn in the side of their relationship. Mm-hmm. But on top of that, we hear her talk about Maya and Ethan for the first time in a long time. So I wonder if that was a way of the writers telling us they're going to be coming back soon. Do you
think? Keeping them alive in our heads. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Because I learned a long time ago that everything said in a show is for a reason.
Oh, yeah. Best example.
There are no wasted words. So absolutely, I think that that's their way of keeping the character alive in our heads.
Yep.
I don't know what their role is going to be in all of this. Alaric said that he wished Lizzie would date Ethan.
Yes, he did. He dropped that one on us.
That was interesting because we hadn't talked about the two of them together,
We talked about Hope and Ethan because they were kind of flirty in the beginning of this season. But again, they also remind us, though, that Ethan is constantly helping out the guy that's being beat up. And he's constantly also taking that hero role in the same regard that Hope always kind of did. So stay tuned. Let us know if you have any theories on Maya and Ethan and how they're going to begin to come into the season, hopefully.
They will. Yeah, I think so.
But all right. Well, with that, Ms. Shiksha, let us know our news and gossip.
Woo! AfterBuzz TV News. All right, guys. Legacies news and gossip for the evening. Legacies has been renewed for a season three. Yes.
Season three.
Woo! So I kind of want to know, what are you hoping to see in this new season? What are you hoping to see?
You know, just a lot more of what they've been doing. Honestly, I could be happy without Malivore. I hope that we're done with him at the end of the season. I know Julie Plec mentioned that he's not going away anytime soon, but that doesn't mean soon as in the season being over. So I think that's what I'm kind of hoping.
I think that they're probably going to write him off in a couple seasons, maybe, but not yet.
Okay.
And knowing that he's going to be there for a while makes me okay with it. I was like, oh, come on already.
When's it going to happen?
Fair. Yeah. There are actually many people tweeting that they want Penelope back.
Okay.
But Alyssa's kind of taking on that role. Agreed. And they're also talking about wanting to see Jeremy Gilbert from TVD or Baby Nick or meet Damon and Elena's daughter, Stephanie.
Yes.
So
I'm here for Stephanie.
Yeah, for me Stephanie. Too. I think that it would be cool. Let us know in the comments who you would want to see in season 3.
Yeah.
Moving on, the actor who plays Sebastian, Thomas Doherty, has a girlfriend, and it's none other than Dove Cameron from Disney Channel.
Oh, they've
been,
snap.
Yes, they've been dating a couple years, actually. They make such a cute couple. He surprised her this week for her birthday with a day full of fun plans. You can read her caption on Instagram. I put a picture up there just so you can see a little bit of it. It's kind of long. Oh,
lengthy.
Yes, you guys can go read that later, but she did end the caption by saying, "What I ever did to deserve this kind of love, I'll spend my whole life wondering." So cute.
That is really
cute.
Oh
my God.
That's very cute.
We actually had Billie Jean Girl 24 earlier tonight on the show say in the comments, "What if Dove plays the girl Sebastian loved long ago?"
Oh, that would be amazing.
Oh, I am so here for that.
Yeah.
Like, oh my God,
that
yes.
That would be cool. I kind of just got goosebumps thinking about that.
Yes. Tweet, guys. Tweet that. So we can make
Tell
it happen.
Tell Brad Matthews.
Yes. And lastly, do you guys remember Enzo from Vampire Diaries?
How can you not remember Enzo from Vampire
yes.
Diaries?
If
I mean, look at him.
Yeah, exactly. There you go. There's a picture to remind you. The actor's name is Michael Mullarkey, and he recently joined the new show called Project Blue Book. On an ET exclusive, he talked about whether he would come back to Legacies. He said, quote, "Sure, call me. I'd come in and do that, play with my old friends. I mean, Atlanta's a great city. I absolutely loved living there and working with that team down there. It was a special time in my life, so I wish them all the best." So now with season 3 being renewed, who knows?
Guys, Enzo and Bonnie's love story is one of my favorites.
Yes, and I would love to see Bonnie too. Personally, yeah. That would be amazing. Anyway, so let me know what you guys think in the comments. Real quick, while I have you guys, want to thank you guys for watching our after show here at AfterBuzz TV. You guys make us the ESPN of TV talk. While you're watching, make sure to hit that subscribe button and that like since you're on there already. And keep chatting with us. I'm here reading your chats and calling you guys out, shouting you guys out on the show. If you're listening on Spotify or iTunes, make sure to give us 5 stars.
Five.
So we can keep being here talking about the shows that we all love. Thanks, guys.
Absolutely. Okay, guys, let us know in the comments right now. Like Shisha said, she's in there. And we're going to talk about The Merge. This is our special segment where we discuss who is the best duo and who was the worst duo of this episode. I'll kick things off for us because, to me, this one's going to be pretty obvious. But, hey, I'm going for it. My favorite duo was Landon and Wade.
You stole mine.
I figured. That's why I wanted to get to it.
Damn it.
We can have the same one. They just, to me, it was such a cute little duo, and everything about them this episode just made me happy, and so to me, they definitely won the day.
Okay.
I mean, did you have a different reasoning for liking them?
It was just such a cute pairing.
That's what I'm saying,
yeah. I love the way that they supported each other and made themselves better for each other.
Yep.
So, yeah, I agree. They were the best pairing today. Least? What was your least?
Do you have one? I'll let you go first.
Okay, fine. Okay, so least was definitely, it just like slipped out of my head. Dang it.
Okay, I'll go then. I hope we don't have the same one again. Mine was Hope and Landon.
Damn it. That's what I was going to say. Okay. Yes, Hope and Landon. I hated that. I've just not been a big shipper for those two.
Neither have I.
Yeah, I know. We just don't. I know you guys in the comments are always like Hope and Landon, but like, we're just not.
Yeah. And yeah. I had a turning point in the fall about them where I was open to them if we could hear and discover them kind of falling in love with one another, but it kind of mostly just seems like they're more so growing as individuals, not growing together as a couple, and I just don't see it working out.
Yeah,
Furthered that.
This is premature love, I think. This is my, they're kids still, okay, guys? No.
Love talks with Shiksha. Okay, what do the comments say?
Ted B said, worst duo is Emma and Alaric. Oh, I thought that they were fine, though. They weren't awkward or anything. Billie Jean.
Oh, I bet you it's for them putting kids in the prison world. Okay. That's why
okay. they're the worst. Fair, Ted B. Fair. Billie Jean Girl 24 said best was Wade and Landon, yep. and worst, Alyssa and all the other witches.
Fair. So pretty much Alyssa versus everybody.
Worst duo, Mercenary times 84 said Alyssa and Hope were the worst.
Okay, I can see that too. Okay, although fair. Their jabs at one another were pretty funny, and let's be honest, Hope won every time. Yeah. So.
Oh, Logan Knight agreed that best duo was Hope and Lizzie, but worst is Emma and Alaric since they crossed the line with sending students in the prison world.
So, agreed.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. So now that we wrap that up, let's talk about our predictions.
Yes, predictions.
Woo!
And now.
Yeah. Okay. So I'll go first. I definitely think, where did I write this? I think that this is going to ultimately having our two prison worlds. I think that by them being in the prison world with Kai, with all of his knowledge of the prison world, of their covenant, of everything that's going to go down with the merger, I think Kai is going to be the loophole that they're going to tell him, hey, we'll bring you back with us if you help us figure out how to make this merger not happen.
The merge.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. Oh. The big daunting merge that we haven't really talked about in a couple episodes, but I think that's going to be their bait to make him, in order for him to come out.
Oh, interesting. Okay, mm-hmm. So before I get into mine, I wanted to shout out... Who was it? It was Magic Books in the comment said if one of the twins turns into a vampire, do they not have to merge? So that's what she asked. And then Ludmilla Tushova responded saying that it wouldn't work, that if one turned into a vampire, that would work. But if they drank the blood and turned during the merge, it would work. So I wonder if that's something that they're...
Interesting.
Yeah. I thought it was a cool thought. Yeah.
Maybe then Sebastian ultimately helps Lizzie with becoming a vampire.
Interesting. Actually, we have Charmed Original saying, I want Jenny Boyd, a.k.a. Lizzie, to play Sebastian's former lover, like Cassandra, in TVD.
Okay.
Because it was the same actress, right? Yep. So that's an interesting thought, too. But Dove would be cool, too. just saying. You guys in the comments are saying that Enzo is dead. I know that he's dead. But they have found ways to bring people from the dead back. So, guys, I wouldn't write that off as he doesn't come back.
Yeah. I'm even cool with a flashback.
Yeah, something. Anything just to get more of him. So, my prediction is all the kids are going to come back. I do think that there is another reason why they put them in the prison world. I'm holding out hope for Alaric. I'm not giving up on them yet. So, yeah, I think that initially everybody's going to be pissed off at him again. But I think that because... For so much of this season, we've had him away from everybody.
Yeah.
To push him away from everybody again would be just too much, fair. Honestly. So fair. I think that it'll just last an episode and then...
Yeah, no, I definitely think it'll be more of like another learning pivot on the ever-notching belt of Alaric Saltzman. And that like he always has these moments kind of lapses in judgment where he... I guess criticizes too harshly of the supernatural world, and he always ends up learning something from it, even going back to his time in Vampire Diaries when we first saw him and how much he had a distaste for the supernatural because of what happened to his first wife. And then ultimately he formulates a friendship with the Salvatore brothers and just with all of our Vampire Diaries crew. And so I think it's going to be the same situation where he had been doing this and he had basically just no right to do it, and I think he'll learn from it.
Yeah, I hope you're right. Yeah. I mean, I just love him. Gratian Ryan said, I predict Wade had something to do with Landon discovering his phoenix powers. Like, we'll have...
Okay.
I like that, because I like that duo. More depth to it. Yeah, they're cute together, so I like that.
That could be cool.
So I just have a couple more predictions.
Yep, go for it.
Ivan is reminding us that Kai is only in one episode. Okay. Yes. That's as much as we know so far. We're hoping for surprises. Logan Knight said, I predict Lizzie is going to go off on a lark and spend time with Seb, but Kai might start messing with them in small ways. And Brandon Bowie said, yes, I predict that the next episode will have a lark and the twins trying to avoid Kai while dealing with the other sent there, but something will lead Kai to Kai escaping.
For sure. Yeah. Okay, cool. Well, that sounds like a bunch of predictions. We'll have to wait and see what happens for next week. And with that, you guys, I am your host. I am Haley Graves, and you can find me on Instagram at Haley Graves with two S's. That's H-A-L-E-Y-G-R-A-V-E-S-S. And on Twitter, Haley1Graves2. Sign us off, Shiksha.
I just got tongue-tied. My name is Shiksha Methani, a.k.a. Bali Girl. You can find me on all social media platforms at I Am Bali Girl. I post about Bollywood news and all the after shows that I'm on, so check it out. Thanks, guys.
Yep. All right. Well, we'll see you next week, everybody. Bye.
Bye.
Happy to be back.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.